storms don't send invitations before they come. I don't know if you guys were here in town 8 days ago, 9 days ago, however long ago it was, when we had some pretty amazing weather that rolled through. We had kind of heard rumblings during the day. There was even talk of like a tornado warning and things like that. I've got some pictures here and some videos of what it looked like in case you weren't around, although I understand that some of you that were coming back from North Dakota may have gotten caught in the same storm a couple days later. They reported that their windshield was covered in ice. If you could just go ahead and mute that, that would be great, Tegan. And the windshield, it was raining so hard that it was like a fog. You couldn't see through the windshield because of how much it rained. I don't know if you guys got to go out in it or got to experience it. I was talking to Tegan this morning. He said that there was so much lightning down in Othello. They had never seen that much lightning before. And it was crazy because one minute things are fine, and the next minute it's like all of a sudden the wind is picking up, and you're like, whoa, I guess this is going to happen after all. And then it was like somebody popped a water balloon, and it started dumping rain, and it was the craziest thing. And actually, we were outside because we were just kind of marveling at the wind, and we realized that we had to pull some stuff in from the back deck and, you know, seat cushions and stuff like that. Wanted to make sure that things didn't blow away. Actually, the cover got blown off of our hot tub at one point because of how strong the wind was. And we're out there, and we're just marveling at all of this taking place. And we noticed that our next-door neighbors have a landscaping company, and the guy is just finishing up with his work. He gets the lawnmower loaded back onto the trailer and stuff like that. And then about a minute later, he comes running over to me, and he's like, "Hey, do you have jumper cables? Because my car is dead." And so I had one of those, you know, jump batteries, pulled it out of the van, handed it to him, like, "Here you go." And when he was talking to me, he was dry. Okay, when he was talking to me, he was dry. It was just starting, just little bits of rain. By the time he got the car jumped and then got back to me, he was completely soaking wet, head to toe. I mean, it was just the most amazing thing to see. And it was like 1 minute, like I said, it was like somebody popped a water balloon up in heaven and just let it all kind of dump out on us at the same time. And this is how life works a lot of times, isn't it? This is how it goes. Things are normal. You're driving to work. You're raising your kids. You're planning your future. It feels like things are going well, and then all of a sudden you get that phone call, and it's like suddenly everything changes. There's a diagnosis, or your job is being downsized, or your relationship falls apart, or anxiety hits, and the storm comes without warning. It doesn't call ahead. It doesn't let you know that it's coming. The only thing that you can know for sure is that the storms will come at some point, and so trying to get as prepared as possible for when it happens. And this is exactly where we see the disciples in today's teaching. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 8, and we're gonna look at the disciples as a storm shows up for them. When the storm shows up, it brings with it fear and anxiety, worry, panic, and questions. Lots and lots of questions. Like, "God, where are you? God, why is this happening to me? God, do you even really care? God, is this all there is? Is this just how my life is going to be from now on? God, why aren't you doing something about this? Why didn't you stop it from happening?" And I think we've all prayed some version of the prayer that the disciples are going to pray here in just a minute, and that is, "Lord, save us, we're going to die. God, don't you understand what the stakes are? Don't you see what's happening?" I think we've all thrown up these panic prayers like this. "God, I just need help, and I need it now. There's nothing else I can do. And of course, God, if you do come through for me right now, then I pledge to join a monastery, and I'm gonna devote my entire waking life. You know, God, if you'll just come through for me right now, I promise that I will make it right later. But God, right now, I need you. God, right now, I'm desperate." I think we know what it feels like to trust God and believe God when life is easy, when we're seeing God move in our lives, and when we open the Bible and it's like there's new revelation and there's new things coming. But it's a lot harder when life is out of control to place your trust in God. And so what Matthew is going to show us today as we look at the text is that the answer to our fear isn't stronger faith in ourselves. The answer is a greater revelation of who Jesus is, because Jesus has the authority to control the chaos around us and also the chaos inside of us as well. So Matthew 8:18, we're going to start there. And it says this, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. So when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he had just finished healing some people. And now he says, okay, let's get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. Verse 23, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Let's go ahead and stop right there. Because the first question that we need to ask ourselves, or the first thing that we notice in the text, is who told the disciples to get in the boat? It was Jesus, right? Jesus told the disciples, hey, we're going to get in the boat. We're going to go over there. These weren't vague. These weren't ambiguous directions. And we're not told that the disciples questioned or resisted. They weren't doubting as Jesus told them to get in the boat. They're like, okay, we're going to get in and we're going to go. So what we see is the disciples aren't in the storm because they disobeyed Jesus. They're in the storm because they obeyed Jesus. If they hadn't obeyed, they would have been safe at home in their warm beds when that storm hit. So this is what I want to camp on this for a minute. I want us to understand that it wasn't disobedience that caused the storm. It was actually their obedience that put them in the position for that storm to affect their lives. It's easy to think that if I become a Christian, I just start going to church and I'm getting involved in Bible studies and I raise my hands during worship and I do all of these things. If I just check all of the boxes, then I can erase all of the storms from my life. And I can make sure that the storms aren't going to affect me. And I know that because I've been reading the Bible. I've been going through the book of Matthew with Generations Church. And I understand that God wants to bless me. And storms don't feel like blessings. In fact, storms feel exactly like the opposite. And so what we see is that in verse 23, Jesus, the Bible says the disciples get in the boat. Verse 24 starts with the word suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly. Suddenly something shifts. Suddenly something happens. Suddenly it's like a light wind begins to blow and cools them off after a long hot day and they're feeling pretty good about everything and the sky is blue and the birds are chirping and everything is it would be nice if suddenly's worked like that, wouldn't it? Where everything is just great. Suddenly everything's calm, everything's peaceful, everything's amazing. Suddenlies don't usually work like that, do they? No, instead suddenlies often come in the form of wind and rain and lightning and earthquakes and floods and all of these things that beat against us and press against us. And the Bible says suddenly, and then it uses the word furious to describe the storm. So not a normal storm. This is a storm like we got a week ago. It's not just a light rain. It's not a drizzle. It's not even a couple of flashes of lightning off in the distance. This is a furious storm that came upon the lake. The Amplified Bible and also the CSB used the word violent when translating the word furious. We're going to come back to that word violent here in a couple of minutes. But the storm was so bad. Picture this. This storm was so bad that even experienced fishermen, which is what a lot of the disciples were, they knew the seas. They understood the wind and the waves. They knew, looking at the night sky, whether it was going to get stormy or not. They could tell, you know, they were experienced fishermen. Not only that, but they were used to being out at night because that's when the fish come to the surface. So they were used to this environment. They knew how to operate inside of this. The storm was so bad that even people that had spent their lives out on the open water were terrified of it. And not just terrified, but begging, pleading with God, God, please, we're going to die. Don't you see what's happening? Verse 24 tells us that Jesus was doing exactly the opposite of panicking, wasn't he? That Jesus was just hanging out in the boat. The Bible says that he was sleeping. He was completely at peace. He knew exactly what was happening, and he knew that he was, you know, we're going to the other side. We're doing this, and so he had complete trust and complete faith. And so the disciples go, and they have to shake him to wake him up. They're like, God, save us. We're going to drown. And he replies to them, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. You see, for Jesus, his faith allowed him to see past the circumstances that were around him. He knew that there was a bigger picture. He knew that there was something else happening. We've been talking about this idea of authority and how if you get directions from up above, and then you are, once you have those directions, you're able to walk out in those. And last week we looked at this example of Jesus healing some people. And we talked about how Jesus was under authority. And so then he was able to proclaim, and he was able to use that authority because it had been delegated to him. In the same way, Jesus knew that this wasn't the end because he knew that God had a mission and a plan for him. So Jesus was looking at the storm, and he knew that the storm wasn't going to be fatal, and so he had complete trust in God. It allowed him to see past what was happening around him and to see that there was a bigger picture happening. And when we get to the point where we throw up a panic prayer in our lives, we can be sure of a few different things. The first one is that God is not panicking along with us. And I love this. I love the idea that in the middle of something that is so big and overwhelming for me, that Jesus could be sleeping in that same storm. Because it's not too big for him. It's not something that he can't handle, and it's not something that he's never seen before. Jesus, or God, is not panicking in the middle of our storms. Also, God wasn't surprised by it in the first place. God saw the weather patterns. He knew what was coming. He was able to discern what was happening. And God did not get surprised by the thing that's causing us to panic. And God isn't sitting there and he's not saying, wow, I never saw that coming, right? He's not, I can't believe it. It's more wind and more, like God isn't like that. God knows he saw it coming. And so when Jesus is still sleeping, what we see here is that even though they think they're going to die, Jesus takes a nap. Why? Because Jesus knows something that they don't know. The disciples, this is kind of a rebuke for them, the disciples actually had placed their faith in the wrong thing entirely. The disciples had placed their faith in the boat. And when the boat started to rock, and when the wind and the waves came, and we start seeing water pouring into the boat, the disciples had placed their faith in the wrong thing. The disciples placed their faith in the boat, but Jesus knew his authority. And so he says, why are you afraid, you of little faith? The faith isn't the size, it's not the size of the faith, but it's the object of the faith that they've placed it in. Because they're looking at this boat like it can protect them, like it can hold them, like it can keep them out of the water and it can keep them from dying. When really all along, the source of all of those things was sitting in the boat with them. And if they had just turned their attention from the boat to Jesus, and when they turned their attention from the boat to Jesus, then they saw how God was able to come through for him. Amen? Man, we see this. It's such an amazing thing that God is with us in our storms, and the things that we're trusting in, we spent weeks talking about this, but Jesus said, don't worry, back in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, don't place your faith in money, in riches, and in shelters and things like that. He says, don't place your faith in those things because they won't last. But instead, place your faith on God. And when you do, that is going to last, not just in this life, but but in the life to come as well. Verse 27, the men were amazed. Of course they were, because Jesus gets up and he, like a barking dog, you know, we'll be sitting on the couch at night and all of a sudden our dogs will hear something, or they're schizophrenic. So sometimes they just start barking randomly, and they'll take off, and they're sitting at the door, and they're growling, and we rebuke them in that moment. We're like, hey, knock it off. The kids are trying to sleep. Get in your bed. That's how I imagine Jesus approaching this storm. The Bible says he rebukes it, and the men were amazed. They ask, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Now, if we saw this happen, we would be amazed. If we were in that storm and suddenly somebody came walking down your street and they're like, hey, wind, rain, knock it off. And all of a sudden it's blue skies again, you would be amazed by that. But for a Jewish audience, this went a couple levels deeper than just this idea of wind and waves. Instead, in the Old Testament, the water represented chaos. It represented decreation. It was this state before creation where the world was. Now, they didn't have a concept really of nothing, and so they instead saw created or uncreated as their two different states, and the waters were this example of uncreation. And we see in Genesis 1, the Bible records that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, and then God speaks. And then God speaks, and he says, let there be light. In Noah, in the story of Noah, we see that there's one safe spot in the storm. Everything else is covered. The wind and the waves are all around them. But as long as they're with God, as long as they're in the place where God has told them to be, then they are safe. In the book of Exodus and in the book of Joshua, we see the people of Israel going through the waters, both to get out of Egypt and then to get into the promised land. This idea of waters and wind and waves, this idea of nature, was such a powerful image for the Jewish church. In Jonah, we see how the raging waters are calmed when the prophet is thrown into the sea. He says, hey, it's me, it's my fault. The reason that these wind and waves are here is because of me. Throw me in the sea and everything will calm down. And it happens because God is trying to tell him something. Psalm 89 says that God rules the raging sea. Psalm 107 says that God stills the storm. And in Job, the Bible says that God shut the sea behind doors so that it can't go any further than it is right now. We see all throughout the Old Testament a story of a God who is in charge of the wind and the waves. And when the disciples ask, what kind of man is this? It's because they recognize this might not be a man. This might be something more than a man. And so they're putting these thoughts together in their head, and they're starting to say, wait, the only one that we've ever seen that can control the chaos, that can keep the waters at bay, that can calm the storms in life, the only one that we've ever seen be able to do this is God himself. And so they're piecing these things together. What kind of man? I don't understand. He's flesh and blood. I can see him right in front of me. He gets hungry. He gets tired. I've seen him at these different points in his life. And yet, the wind and the waves obey him. And so they're piecing all of this together. But Matthew isn't finished. Because while the disciples' heads are still swimming with all of these ideas, with questions, they step onto the shore. They get to the other side of the water. And before they can catch their breath, Matthew tells us that two violent men, demon-possessed men, jump out to meet them. And so in verse 28, he says, when they arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? You see, in here, Matthew records that nobody could control these men, that there was something going on inside of them that they couldn't be controlled. They had been outcasts. They'd been pushed away, but that was the best that the villagers could do in order to try and get these people under control. Nobody could help them. Nobody could pass by safely. And so they'd been kind of outcast to this region, and that's exactly where Jesus meets them. And I hope you guys picked up on the similarities there, because we have a violent storm on one side, and now we have violent men on the other side. And so as they crossed through, they came upon these men. The storm couldn't be controlled by human means. The men also couldn't be controlled. And Jesus speaks, and in Luke 8, which is it's Luke's version of this story right here. Luke tells us that the townspeople come after Jesus speaks to the men. He casts the demons out. They go into the pigs go into the water, and the townspeople come out because they recognize that something has happened. The townspeople come out, and they're looking, and they find the men sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The disciples wanted to know, who is this man? But the demons already knew. Did you catch that? They're like, Son of God, what do you want with us? Son of God, why are you here? Why are you trying to meddle in what we've got going on? Why are you trying to have you come to torture us, they say, before our appointed time? And so the demons already knew. They already recognized who he was. Now, Jesus has been proclaiming the kingdom of God. And we talked last week about how he's now showing people what the kingdom of God is like. He's demonstrating to them that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He doesn't even have to say it. His actions are backing up this point. We saw last week how his authority was able to touch somebody that was impure, a person with leprosy. His authority allowed him to touch that person and not get the leprosy on himself, but instead God's cleansing power flowed to the leprous man and he was healed. We saw how the authority of God, it covered any distance. It wasn't confined to just where Jesus was, but when Jesus said the word, the centurion's servant was healed. And this week we see Jesus have power over the natural and the supernatural. Because Jesus has authority over the chaos both around us and the chaos within us as well. Because the same voice that calms the seas is also the same voice that calms our soul. And the same God that wants to minister and wants to flatten the mountains and make way for God, that same God can also speak into your life and the walls can fall and the chains can come off of you. Whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever the ideas, whatever the conviction, whatever the guilt that you're dealing with, the shame, the doubt, the unforgiveness, all of those things, God wants to smooth those things out in your life. He's here to deal with the chaos around you, and he's here to deal with the chaos that's inside of you as well. And this is good news, because not all chaos comes from the same place. It doesn't all come from the same place, because sometimes it's around you, sometimes it's inside of you, and sometimes it's even both. As the disciples saw, right? The wind and the waves kicked up, but the wind and the waves were just a revelation of where they were putting their trust. And when the wind and the waves came, it revealed what they were placing their trust in. Jesus calls them out for their little faith. But it's not Jesus later on, Matthew 17, he's going to tell us, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. As long as your faith is placed in the right object, you can do anything. It doesn't matter the size of your faith. So here he's calling out their little faith, but he's pointing out you're placing your faith in the wrong thing. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage. I think this is why Matthew places these two stories together, is to talk about this idea of the storms of life and the storms that are surrounding us, and to show us how God wants to step in to those storms. Sometimes, like we saw in the pictures, a literal physical storm sweeps through, damages your landscaping, tears up your lawn. For some of you guys, you or your neighbors had trees fall on your houses, so it damages property, it does things. Sometimes the storm then causes financial pressure. It leads to all of these different issues. Now the water that's supposed to be safely outside of your house is now getting to the inside of your house, and you've got to deal with that. Sometimes the storms come from around us. Sometimes the storms are things like financial pressure from losing a job, or a raise or a bonus doesn't come through that you were counting on, or a bill comes in that you weren't expecting, and now you've got to figure out how to pay for it. Sometimes it's health issues. You know, your everything is just fine, and then I was talking earlier, and you're waiting in line for the ferry, and all of a sudden you discover that there's blood clots in your lungs, and your life is turned upside down in a moment. All of these different things can happen to us. They come from the outside, and it raises all of these different problems inside of us, family problems, unexpected setbacks. All of these things cause us to worry, to panic, to doubt. But sometimes the storms are inside of us. There's the fear, there's the bitterness, there's the addiction, there's trying to cope with the outside storms by looking at my problem, by looking at the thing that I'm hoping to put my safety in, instead of looking at Jesus who's in the boat with me. And so all of these outside storms are exacerbated by the fact that I won't turn my attention to Jesus. And instead, I'm trying to hold things together on my own. Shame, anxiety, depression, spiritual oppression, all of these things are symptoms of outward problems that start to fester and start to do some things inside of us. So our question for today really boils down to, what storms are you going through right now? What are the things in your life that you have a storm and you're trying to ride it out? You're trying to hold the boat together. You're trying to shed weight. You're trying to make sure that you can just ride out this storm. And are you trusting in the boat to keep you safe? Are you trusting in your bank account? Are you trusting in your health? Are you trusting in your doctors? Are you trusting in your job to keep you safe? Or are you placing your trust in Jesus, the one who ultimately can? Because here's the good news. Again, I mentioned it earlier, but God does not share in your panic. He's here for you. God is not surprised by the storms that you're going through. God never once said, "I didn't see that coming. I can't believe it." So this week, when the wind blows and the storm waters rise, let's all take time to stop and to pray. Jesus, I know you have authority over this. Jesus, I know that I can trust you in this. Because the same Jesus who stood in that boat 2,000 years ago, he's with you in your car. He's with you at home when you get that phone call. He's with you when you're trying to parent your kids. He's with you throughout the storms of life. The same Jesus that was in the boat is with you today. The same Jesus who spoke peace over the seas is speaking peace into your life right now. The same Jesus who restored those tormented men is speaking peace to you right now. And he's restoring people in this room right now, because the answer isn't trying harder. The answer is to bring those things to Jesus. It's not holding it together. It's bringing it to the one who can. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand as we pray today. Father God, we thank you. Lord, in a weird way, we thank you for storms that reveal what we're placing our trust in. God, we thank you that in the storms of life, we can see and we can know whether we're actually placing our trust in you or whether we're trying to control things on our own. And God, I pray if this sermon today has stirred up something inside of us that says, I've been trying to hold things together, and now it's my chance, now it's my opportunity to give it away. God, I pray that we would have boldness to turn and look to you as you're sleeping peacefully in the boat. And God, even if our prayers sound panicked, even if our prayers sound forced, even if our prayers don't have all of the eloquence, God, I pray that we would turn to you and we would cast our cares on you, because we know that you care for us. So God, I ask that, Lord, you would just help us today to look at the storms through God's eyes, who doesn't panic, who isn't worried, who isn't overwhelmed, but instead to know that you are with us. As we just continue to pray, maybe you're facing a storm today, or maybe you're carrying a storm inside of you For some of you, the storm passed a while ago, but the effects of the storm are still buried deep inside. And you see the blue skies around you, but in your heart, there's still that bitterness, there's still that fear, there's still that depression or anxiety that is controlling you and trying to cover you. Today, Jesus isn't asking you to calm your own storm.